It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Thank you for joining me. We've got Nathan Forlina in, as always, on a beautiful, beautiful day. It's sunny, it's nice, and pretty warm, and Nathan rolls in with a hoodie for some reason. I don't know what you're doing.
I broke the hoodie out today. It's pretty comfortable. It's going to get a little chilly.
It will.
So by the time I get home, the hoodie will come in handy. So
I drove here with the air conditioner blasting in my vehicle because that's why I had to get another
Worth
one,
every penny.
We just finished baseball practice. We got a game here, so I had to have the air conditioner going.
Windows rolled down, buddy. That's how I roll. So.
All right. 946-0435. That's our number if you'd like to join us. Anything that's on your mind. We're in a weird time of year right now where, hey, look, we appreciate if you're listening, and this is a big reason why Nathan is in here, so we can have some fun, have some good discussions, because this is a tough time of year. What the hell are we going to talk about right now?
There's not much.
There's NBA Finals. The Pirates suck. I mean, So we kind of scratch our brains every day and try to come up with a discussion or something interesting going on in the world of sports. If you've ever got something you want to discuss, give us a call, 946-0435. I came across something earlier today, Nathan. I think this is interesting with regards to the finances of college sports. Why do colleges exist? Why do universities exist in this country?
Universities exist for people to get a higher education.
Education, right? Yeah. So why then at many universities around this country, including Penn State, are most of the highest paid employees sports figures? We'll get into that in a second. I got some figures we're going to give you from a Penn State perspective. We'll get to that in just 1 second. Jerry in Bellwood. Jerry always has fantastic tidbits of knowledge. What are you dropping on us today, man?
Well, not to put pressure on me.
I know it.
I did have a question for you. You know, we're always talking about Coach Franklin, and I do the talking, too, about how he's never won the big game and all that kind of stuff. You know, I was thinking, is he going to be like Tom Osborne? They used to say the same thing about him with Nebraska. And there's other coaches and players that have been with John Elway. They used to say that about John Elway and Peyton Manning. And I think they even said about Joe Paterno, even though it's a little different with him.
He had undefeated seasons. The narrative around Joe was he had proven it, but they were just always getting screwed over.
Yeah, they weren't playing anybody. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I just wonder if he ever does win, you know, the big game. I wonder if it will be. If you look at Tom Osborne, like his bowl record, it's pretty bad, you know. Or John Wooden's another perfect example. He coached a long time before he started the dominance that we saw at UCLA.
This is why I love you, Jerry, because you just really gave us a show. Okay, because I can go on for hours about this, and I know Nathan's got some opinions on it as well. I will start off by saying James Franklin is a very, very, very good college football coach in the modern era. You can't dispute that. If there's anybody out there that wants to rip James Franklin for various reasons, you can find reasons. But James Franklin, with what he has proven, the level of consistency, the level of stability in the program. James Franklin, I'm not going to go so far as to say excellent, but he is a very, very, very good college football coach. Let me state that first and foremost so that there's no hymns and hawing. I'm going to give James Franklin, blah, blah. James Franklin is an excellent CEO in college football and a very, 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 very good college football coach. If you disagree with that, you're an idiot, okay, with what he's proven. Okay, but now the second part of the discussion is he hasn't won big games. And you mentioned Tom Osborne. That's a fascinating comparison. I'm going to save that for a minute. But, Nathan, here's my thing. And, Jerry, I've been talking about this for a few months now. Despite what I just said, I almost get the feeling that James Franklin has entered a higher tier of coaching without necessarily having earned it. You follow what I'm saying? How many times in the last 4 months have you heard me say Penn State didn't beat anybody huge in getting to the Final Four? They beat Boise State and SMU. Those are the equivalents of a good Illinois team. So on one side, I can say James Franklin is a very, 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 very good coach, and he's accomplished an awful lot. But I almost get the feeling, Nathan, that over the last 3 months, James Franklin's reputation has grown, and I don't necessarily feel like he's earned that. Can I say both of those things at the same time? Because they played three huge games last year. He lost all three. And then they were 11-point favorites over Boise, and they were 9-point favorites over SMU. Those are not tough, tremendously challenging. They happen to be in the playoff. So I keep saying this, Jerry. The only thing that has changed is that now we have a 12-team playoff. So I personally don't think that James Franklin deserves to go into a higher category. I just think that because they made the Final Four, beating good but not great teams, the equivalent of an Illinois, you see what I'm getting at, Nathan?
I see what you're getting at. I'm trying to rationalize how Franklin can be, I guess, underrated and overrated at the same time in your eyes, or I guess appreciated correctly, but still.
Player development. Consistency.
Yes. I agree with you.
They don't lose games they're supposed to lose. LSU loses games they're supposed to lose. Ole Miss loses games they're supposed to lose. Alabama loses games they're supposed to lose. At this point, you do have to give James Franklin a tremendous amount of credit for riding the ship and not letting the ship falter.
He's been so consistent for so long.
His 1-0 mantra, as goofy as it sounds, it works. The players develop. They have good NFL draft picks. They're strength and development. There are so many things. They don't have mass exodus to the transfer portal. Basically, no high-quality players have transferred out of Penn State.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the last guy to really transfer out of Penn State. That was right. Significant.
There was a lineman that went to the defensive lineman that went to Florida a few years ago. I can't even remember. But anyway, my point is there are a lot of things you can point to that show that James Franklin is doing a very, 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 very good job, but he still doesn't win the biggest games. And until he does that, I have a hard time buying the fact that he will.
I think the college football scheme has valued his consistency so much because we never talked about Franklin outside the COVID year, which everybody's pretty much throwing that away.
And then the next year when Clifford got hurt. Those 2 years, again, you can take those with a grain of salt.
You can take those with a grain of salt, but I think the college football landscape realizes that he's been at, I'm going to say, like that 8 to 12 range for so long every single year.
Football landscape, if they hadn't been a 12-team playoff last year and there had been four teams and they had lost to Oregon in the Big Ten championship game, James Franklin would have been getting destroyed. Jerry, let me throw that part out to you. If the playoff had been four teams last year and Penn State gives up 45 points to Oregon in the Big Ten championship game and loses, do you think that people are going to say James Franklin's doing a really good job? Or is it going to be the same old default of he can't win the big game? So again, my default is the only thing that has changed. James Franklin hasn't changed. Penn State hasn't changed. The only thing that has changed is that now we have a 12-team playoff and they can look better because of it.
Well, yeah, but still, coming back to my original point, Tom Osborne, I think, was 12-13 in bowl games.
Okay.
The big games.
Back when bowl games really mattered.
Yeah, it was 12-13. I know the Nebraska man probably is going to be able to give a lot of good info on this, but Colin Cowherd is predicting Penn State Texas in the national championship game. By the way,
that proves my point. There all of a sudden seems to be this great level of confidence
Penn
in James
Penn
Franklin.
State, a lot of people have Penn State as the number one team in the country, which makes zero sense when you don't have a quality win in the last, or not quality win, but a top win in 9 years.
That's
now.
Why this is such a fascinating discussion. You keep coming back to Tom Osborne. That's such a lifetime ago. We're talking 30 years ago. Your comparison is very interesting because once Osborne did win it in 94 at Penn State's expense, he entered that legendary echelon and then won a couple more, I believe, or at least one more. So, but with Franklin, I still think he's got to beat somebody on a national stage to take the next step. I'm not going to give him.
Do you think
this is my default? I will not just fall in love with Penn State and James Franklin because they beat SMU and Boise State. I refuse to do it. I absolutely refuse to do it.
Is it Ohio State or can Oregon beat
that
game?
Even if they would have beaten Notre Dame.
I'm talking this upcoming year. What will satisfy?
I don't care about this coming. I'm talking about in the past. Even if they'd beaten Notre Dame, which they didn't, your quarterback that people think is a top five pick throws one of the most horrific interceptions you'll ever see with the game on the line. Penn State has done nothing other than beat SMU and Boise State, and yet people have just almost defaulted to putting Penn State in the elite tier because of that. And
everything that you're saying, I don't put him in that elite category yet. I guarantee if he wins a national championship, people are going to forget the past. It's like they have.
Absolutely. You broke up there, Jerry. What he said is if they win the national championship, people will forget the past and they'll all of a sudden look at James Franklin. And rightfully so. There's never been a black head coach to win the national title. Is that right? Notre Dame lost to
Ohio State last year.
Ohio State, so right. There's still never been a black head coach. So if James Franklin becomes the first black head coach to win a national title, he is an immediate first, second Hall of Famer in college football. He will go down as a legendary college football figure without question because just like Tony Dungy and we look at Mike Tomlin, that what James Franklin has overcome and would have accomplished would be legendary. But he also lost the three biggest games of their year last year, including having the ball inside the five-yard line, and you can't score against Ohio State at home. And then in Notre Dame, where you're looking great for the most part, and then all of a sudden you fall apart.
And then your defense gives up 45 points to Oregon.
To Oregon, correct. So, yeah, go ahead, Jerry.
He was a white coach, Corey, and he wins a national championship. They're going to forget all the big games that he lost.
No question. I agree with that. Yeah.
I might not. But and that happens all the time, and it could very easily.
I'm just talking about it in terms of being a legendary college football figure,
a figure that the national landscape.
Right. But you're right. Yeah, it's not about race for me. I'm talking about his legacy in college football. But yes, if he wins a national title, my God, and he becomes the coach that led Penn State out of the sanctions and to a national championship. Again, that's legendary in and of itself. But beat somebody first. I'm not going to fall in love. I'll repeat this a billion times until it changes. I'm not going to fall in love with Penn State because they beat SMU and Boise State. I'm just not. I refuse to do it.
Me either. Hey, thanks, Corey.
Great. That's a great topic. You see what I'm getting at, Nathan, about he deserves a tremendous amount of credit. But the only thing that changed last year, Penn State didn't change. You could say James Franklin got more aggressive with the Minnesota fourth down fake punt. Yeah, but the only thing that changed is that the playoff went from 4 to 12. Because if it were still 4, Penn State wouldn't have made it, and we would have been blasting James Franklin for losing to Oregon. So
if they didn't get the luckiest draw in college football playoff history. They might not even want a playoff game.
And this is why I keep coming back to the notion, and everybody knows this is the fact, that Penn State is the one program in the country that benefited the most from going from a 4 to a 12. Because when you're playing in the same division, Ohio State and Michigan, and that's always going to block you, now they can get there every single year. And, again, maybe I would be singing a little bit of a different tune if they'd beaten Notre Dame. But quite frankly, I think if they'd have beaten Notre Dame, they'd have gone and lost by 3 touchdowns to Ohio State. I honestly do. I think Ohio State was gonna beat the hell out of them in the national championship game. But regardless, I'll say it for the third time today, and you'll hear me say this until this is no longer the case. Beating SMU and Boise State does not make you automatically an elite program.
That doesn't make you an elite program. they're quality wins, but it doesn't make you an elite program. I'm not discounting it as much as you're discounting the fact that they did win two playoff games. Now, like I said, it's not, you know, Notre Dame, it's not Ohio State quality teams, but they still beat two pretty solid programs.
And that's why I called him a very, 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 very good coach.
And that's why I agree with you.
He doesn't lose those games ever.
When's the last time he lost one of those games? Iowa a couple years ago.
But that was when Clifford got hurt.
But that was just a disaster.
Because Clifford got hurt. Now take Roberson, the Illinois game,
9 overtimes or whatever.
But that was the week. That was the week after Clifford. So that was all connected.
Yes.
So really. I mean, when's the last time Penn State? When's the last time James Franklin,
a healthy Penn State team,
right, lost a game that they really shouldn't have lost?
Indiana?
And he gets maybe. I mean, that was, you're talking about
2020,
the year after. Yeah, that was such a crazy scenario, though. Michael Parsons opting out and all that stuff.
And Michael Penix didn't reach the goal line.
I agree with that as well. But again, I just think we're in this weird area right now where
they're getting too much credit for not.
James is getting a lot of credit for doing the same things that he's always done when he wasn't getting credit for it.
Do you think, you know what I'm saying? Yes.
We live in a weird, bizarre world.
But do you think it's because we just saw the blueprint of what they're doing this year with the last two national
championships? I think it's because they have a lot of people back.
Yes.
They have more people back than anybody else.
If they don't have Drew Aller coming back this year, if they don't have the Long Boys coming back, they're not talked about this way.
I would not have a problem with them being ranked number one in the country in the pre. I really wouldn't. I wouldn't have, because they've got two. They've got two running backs that are going to finish either first, third, all time in Penn State rushing history. With those two guys, okay, and you got a veteran quarterback. So I wouldn't have an issue if they're the number one team in the country, but you still got to go beat somebody.
You got to beat someone, and they have the perfect opportunity week four off a team with Oregon who's trying to almost retool right in front of their eyes.
This is going to be the number one topic all fall. We are going to discuss this 100 times between now and January, because I think they're going to beat Oregon. That's all set up perfectly for them. Oregon, I think, is going to take a big step down.
And then you go to Ohio State.
Okay, and so can you beat Ohio State in Columbus when you are expected to be number one, possibly top team in the country? Can you do that? Then, when you get into the playoff and maybe you don't get the best draw in the history of the world, okay, can you win those games?
This is the most important season in Penn State football history.
No, that was 2012.
It's this year with the program of which the expectation is now.
The most important year in Penn State football history was 2012.
Surviving
all of that stuff and coming out and still bringing the community is the reason we're even here today.
That is true.
If 100 players transfer in 2012 and they go 0-12 or 0-11 or whatever the hell they play, that we still might have been waiting for Penn State football to come back.
We might have been. Outside 2012.
All right.
This is the most important season.
2016. I like these discussions. I like how you latch on to today, the proximity of today.
I'm saying going into a season.
Yeah, right. 2016. Nobody knew.
It was a crazy scenario. You know what?
In our lifetime, definitely. You know, back in the 80s or whatever, I'm sure they had seasons where they thought they could compete. But yeah. People feel like Penn State can win a national title this year.
And again, things are almost set up perfectly where you can take the jumps this year with the Oregon win, and then I don't think it'll beat Ohio State, but you're going into Ohio State in which you're maybe perceived as a better team.
I'm going to go to Nebraska man next. Dan's got a great topic on St. Francis that Neil wrote about over the weekend. Dan, hang on with me for a minute. But I'm going to go to Nebraska man next. He wants to talk Penn State as well. What's up, Nebraska man?
Corey, how are you?
All right, buddy.
Yeah, hey, I agree with you about Penn State this year. I think this might be one of the favorite years for James Franklin to play the national championship. But I still, and I will repeat this time and time and time again, until the strength of schedule and Franklin can't, and until he can't really win the big game. Sure, he might win 9-10 games every year. The fact of the matter is, he's got to win a big game, and he's got to get to the, he's got to get some take the chance, like the Ohio States and the Texases and the Oregons. Take the chance at the beginning of the year to get out there. And James Franklin reminds me of the manager for Rocky Balboa. Sure, he was a heavyweight boxing champ, but he gave him slick matches to win. And until Penn State can come out and take the chance and get that quality win, I really don't. He's going to have to beat somebody really. He's going to have to impress me to really do that. But my question is, do you think this is the year that the Big Ten does take over in college football as far as get playoff teams?
That's a great question.
It is a great question because now I saw somebody post this the other day. What's changed in college football is that now you can pay these players legally, and the Big Ten's got every bit as much money as the Southeastern Conference. So the SEC has dominated for a long time, weather and all that stuff and finances and everything. But now when you can pay these guys and the tradition and everything, there's every reason to believe that the Big Ten can be right there year in and year out with the SEC.
So do you agree with me as far as until Penn State beats somebody?
Yeah.
It gets the strength of schedule up a little bit. The Franklin's going to have to win a big game during the year, beginning of the year.
I keep going back to this is one of those things where Nathan, you're gonna kick ass.
Right.
I feel like everybody's taking damn crazy pills. I truly feel like I'm the only reasonable person in the world on this because I'm telling you. Absolutely nothing has changed about Penn State football. Zero. Zilch. Nada. Not a single thing has changed about Penn State football. But for some reason, people's perception has changed about James Franklin. For why? What did they do? They give up 45 to Oregon. And this is where Nathan and I will disagree to a good point on the quality of wins over SMU and Boise. But I think people are just taking crazy pills, putting way more emphasis on wins over SMU as an 11-point favorite or 9-point favorite, and 11 points over Boise State. Those are middle of the season regular Big Ten opponents. Those are mid-season Indiana, Northwestern, Illinois. Those are mid-season Big Ten opponents that you would be favored by 9 to 11 points over, and Penn State fans don't really care about those wins. And you know what Penn State fans also – this is the big part about the crazy pills. When Penn State lost to Oregon, no one was upset. No one was upset. And that in my mind, screams that nothing has changed at Penn State. They're just benefiting from the fact that there's a larger playoff. You see what I'm getting at, man?
I see exactly what you're getting at. I see exactly what you're getting at. And I agree with you on the fact that they haven't elevated themselves enough. I just think that, again, this is the difference between me and you, is I still think an SMU and a Boise State's quality win. I still think you take those into account, that you don't lose those games, you don't slip up.
If they're favored by 11 against Illinois in week 7 and they beat them, people don't all of a sudden think that James Franklin has turned a corner.
Do you think if SMU played Illinois
would have beaten them? Yep.
I almost can't disagree with that because I think that's probably also true. I think Illinois does beat SMU.
I think SMU and Boise were just cherry-picked from the gods. They were cherry-picked from the gods to help Penn State take another level of respect. And they did win on national TV.
I think the difference is maybe not as much in Boise State, but they manhandled them. They dominated.
Mm-hmm.
Boise State was a little bit of a closer game. It got tight at certain points.
It did get tight at the end, right?
They
win by 15?
I think it was an 8-point game at one point in the second half or something like that.
We got to take a break. Nebraska, man, very good questions. We're going to move on to something else because Dan's got something else here in a second after the break. But, hey, again, this is a topic. This will be our number one football topic. And look, I'm not trying to be negative. I'm truly not. I will sit here and tell you I think Penn State might have a good chance to be the number one team in the country. And right, maybe rightfully so, given what they've got coming back. But you got to beat people with that, what you got coming back.
Yeah, beat people.
If you got Drew Aller and these running backs, put up or shut up. And James Franklin, is a very, 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 very good coach who can't beat a great opponent. So he's going to have to beat a great opponent.
It's time, James. This is the year. Do it. Prove Corey wrong.
I'll be fine.
It's spring and time for a trip to J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. J.M. Boswell has a vast collection of premium cigars to choose from and a variety of pipes and tobaccos. Here's J.M. Boswell to tell us more.
Hello, this is J.M. Boswell, the owner of Boswell's Pipes and Cigars. I want to invite you all to come into our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars. You can sit in our lounge, have a smoke. Enjoy yourself.
Think you're ready for that fishing trip? You got hooks, lines, sinkers, baits? How about cigars for you and your buddies? Oops. It's time for a trip to J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. J.M. Boswell has a vast collection of premium cigars to choose from and a variety of pipes and tobaccos. J.M. Boswell has two convenient locations, 6481 William Penn Highway in Alexandria and 586 Lincoln Way East in Chambersburg. So go ahead, make that first cast. Then light up and enjoy a premium cigar from J.M. Boswell.
And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Kepner's Grand View Meats, 1544 Pleasure Valley Boulevard. Nell and Chris have hot meals to go, available throughout the day to fit your schedule. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy, or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grand View Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. That's 943-MEAT. Kepner's Grand View Meats.
When it comes to feeding your family, you want only the best, especially bread, only the freshest and best tasting. There's only one choice, Pacifico Bakery. Since 1947, Pacifico Bakery has been a staple in central Pennsylvania, and they continue to be a favorite with the freshest breads, rolls, and more. Be sure to visit Pacifico's outlet store, 1208 Fifth Avenue, Altoona, open Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, 9 a.m. to 4:30, and Saturday, 9 to 2:30, closed Wednesdays and Sundays. Give your family only the best bread from Pacifico Bakery of Altoona.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with two branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simply human sense.
Find out more today at High Street Gingrich Insurance Agency, Altoona.
A quick trip from wherever you are in Central PA gets you the finest from Kubota and the very best from the McCoy family. A trusted name for homeowners, contractors, and the agricultural community right here in Central PA for over 40 years. Kubota offers the models, attachments, and implements you need, and you'll find them all at McCoy's Lawn and Garden in Roaring Spring. Excellent selection, combined with the full service and support of a longtime dealer like McCoy's Lawn and Garden. Whether it's mowing, tackling that big project on your property, managing a construction site, or running your farm, McCoy's Lawn and Garden has the full line of Kubota equipment. Kubota tractors, mowers, utility vehicles, and more. And always with free setup and free delivery. The weather has finally turned, and it's time to head back outdoors. Follow the Kubota orange glow and meet the McCoy family at McCoy's Lawn and Garden, Route 36, Roaring Spring. Online at McCoy'sLawnAndGarden.com. McCoy's Lawn and Garden. Kubota. Family. Community.
See, I don't know if Jerry's still listening out there. That's why I like Jerry. Sometimes when I got really, we didn't really have a lot to talk about. We were going to talk about the finances, which now maybe we can save for another day. We'll see. Jerry calls in and hammers the topic that I am very passionate about discussing, and that's why I love some of these callers.
Corey loves to just put down the Penn State supporters, the Penn State fans, and reason their expectations. It's like his favorite thing to do.
That's not true. That's absolutely not true. You're making me out to be a hater, which I'm definitely not.
You're the heel in this. You're the bad
guy.
I got to put on for the fans.
I've always got to be the heel because I'm the voice of reason. I'm the voice of everyone else in the world when James loses big games.
We were talking about this off air. If Penn State was to lose to Oregon, everybody in this country would instantly take back what they've been saying for the last two, three months.
As we stand right now, whatever the preseason line is on Penn State, I'd hammer that crap right now. 6
against Oregon?
Yeah. 6-7? What do you think? What do you think it is?
Listen, I think Penn State might hammer it. I love Dante Moore out of Oregon. If he can get going, he can find his footing. He was pretty good at UCLA when he was a freshman, transferred up there.
The issue would be Penn State plays that horrific non-conference schedule, then they play Oregon. Yes, and Oregon was fantastic last year, and they caught Penn State. But I'm not sure Oregon coming to Beaver Stadium in week 4. Hey, our next caller is a huge Oregon fan.
Oregon's got some competition, though, before they play Penn State.
Who they play?
So, I mean, you got Oklahoma State, which, I mean, it's – you know,
at least a program.
It's a program. You play Northwestern, which again is a program. Oregon State, which is a program, and then
they play Oregon State before Penn State.
Yeah, they play 3 quality opponents in a row before they go.
Hey, Rob in Bedford, I know you want to talk about something. That's pretty fascinating what Nathan just said. Oregon plays Oklahoma State, Northwestern, and Oregon State.
3 top 60 programs.
Penn State plays Nevada, FIU, and Villanova. Why is Oregon playing 3 somewhat decent programs?
Well, it might really benefit them if they are going through transition. Those are the kind of wins that could help them if they, you know what I mean, stumble out of the gate, so to speak, in the conference, which I don't see that happening. I mean, they can go to hell in a handbasket, and that laughable learning curve was just urinated all over throughout the entirety of 2024. So
We were just talking about this on the air. Let me ask you a question. This is interesting. Nobody, I promise you, nobody here watches more Oregon football than Rob. And Nathan and I were just discussing this. There was no learning curve for Oregon last year. There was no learning curve for Penn State in 1994 in the Big Ten. They would roll in and go undefeated. There was no learning curve for Oregon last year
Oregon
in the Big Ten.
Oregon didn't have a cupcake schedule either. They played Ohio State. They played Penn State.
Okay, so I actually do look. I'm not being a hater here. I think there's a better chance that the learning curve for Oregon might happen this year compared to last. Last year they had Dylan Gabriel. They had a lot of things set up. They do have a lot of good players coming back. But I just think that I think the second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year of playing a Big Ten schedule, it will catch up with
the
these
learning
teams.
Curve caught up to them in the Rose Bowl whenever they got.
Well, maybe. What do you think about that? Clearly, there was no learning curve last year. Could there be a learning curve for Oregon in year 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever?
I think it would come as more of a coincidence of just having maybe a down roster. I mean, the learning curve, you can't really retroactive one. You have one that's the early uncharted waters part of any kind of new endeavor, and they've already passed that with, you know, they got a perfect on the SAT. They only had one game where they didn't score 30 against the Big Ten, and that was a late November, which happens annually with the juggernaut kind of conference team. You go on the road, you kind of muck it up, but you do enough to win. I mean, I think they could have they're capable. Dan Lanning is an enormously phenomenal coach, but he's human. He makes a lot of in-game mistakes. He's lost several games. They would have went to the playoff the year before if they didn't lose to Washington twice by going for like 27 fourth downs in the 2 games. So he's a bit of a firecracker in the moment. You know what I mean? I think he has trouble kind of looking ahead. He gets caught up and goes for it at his own 30. And sometimes it works. And when it works, you know, I'll clap it on, but I'm, you know, spitting nails when it doesn't. So, but yeah, they're not going to be as good as they were last year. I would be crazy to say that they are, but I'm optimistic, and I'm going to get into it more as we get closer to the season starting, you know.
Now, it says on my screen that you've got a music topic, so I'm dying to hear this. Rob always says good stuff.
I was kind of surprised. Now, I'm not able to tune in every day. I got so much going on, but I do listen as much as I can. maybe you mentioned this before, but did you get refunded? Were you supposed to be at Fire Festival 2? That would have been the day three of the scheduled 3 days that was supposed to be in Belize, then Cuba, then Dominican Republic, and then my backyard, then back to Mexico by entrepreneur Billy McFarland.
Is he the same guy that did Fire Festival 1 as well?
He is. He got 6 years federal prison, did less than four, $27.4 million he hosed out of investors. Now, O.J. Simpson owed $33 million to the Goldman and Brown families. I think
how in the world was he
paid $500,000? That McFarland's paid less than that.
How in the world was he even allowed or enabled to start a Fire Festival 2 after all the nonsense from the first one?
I was hoping maybe you could shed some light on that, because that's like letting Norman Bates out the third time when they had Psycho 4 and they were surprised that he was, you know, once again whacking people. So
hey, you
I have no idea.
You love the Halloween movies. There's a thing on I think Super 70 Sports on Twitter post a picture of Donald Pleasance, Dr. Loomis, and the caption goes something to the effect of how many lives would have been saved if everyone would have just listened to this M bleeper.
Right, they still weren't listening.
They
to him.
They still weren't listening to him.
But no, with Firefest 2. Yeah, he got out of jail not that long before he started. I mean, he instantly got the ball rolling.
Oh, my gosh.
Corey,
man,
pre-ordered those tickets immediately when they dropped them.
Let me tell you this.
Tickets.
If Steve Perry and Journey were having a reunion, I don't care if it's Fire Festival 97, I'm buying tickets.
Well, he put the first 100 tickets out for $500 a piece, which what he was asking in the big picture was a huge discount. But that was nothing more than a tweet, and those tickets sold within a day. $500,
yeah, I'm sure.
No, then once he rolled out the actual prices, the cheapest, this was nosebleed, was $1,400. That basically got you there, wherever there was. And then $1.1 million was the Prometheus package. And apparently he sold a few of those tickets. The Ooh. Only signed-on act was Antonio Brown before it finally got shelved. It finally got shelved at the end of April.
Why are you laughing, Corey? Yeah. Tony Brown's an excellent rapper.
Is he really?
Oh, my
Mr.
God.
Mr. Big Chest.
When people started getting concerned with all the changes, you know, he come on and he said, just embrace the unknown. It's only a cool $1 million. I can't believe anyone would let him in the zip code of selling Girl Scout cookies, much less organizing a multi-million dollar endeavor that there was a cluster. You know what?
You know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to go home and read about this later on tonight, because
Oh my God! The first one was they arrived to like water soaked beach tents. They were supposed to have like an exotic once in a lifetime experience. This second one, you were supposed to have your own docked yacht that you slept on, and the acts that were performing were going to come on, bring their acoustics, and they were going to sit bedside with you and your wife and play your favorite songs, basically. And people were buying it.
And this didn't happen.
I mean, this guy is a shyster.
All right, thank you, buddy. That's a good laugh.
Could you imagine?
I can't believe
that. That.
Yeah, trying to do a second one after he'd already been
in
prison.
And who would buy that? Like, come on,
Dan. Sorry, we got cut off early. I apologize about that. But Dan's got something interesting, and I'm looking forward to discussing this. Go ahead, man.
You don't have to apologize to me. Now that trophy come up almost to his waist.
Yeah, this picture was in the paper on Sunday. It was a big old trophy. They brought that trophy out. I'm like, holy man.
Yeah, and the thing of it is now, Corey, now he must be almost as tall as you are now.
No, he's only like 5'2". He's got a ways to grow. I'm waiting for the 6-7 inch growth spurt here.
Well, he's got 3 more years, I'd say.
All right, what you got on St. Francis, Dan?
Okay, now, did you read them?
I did. Neil Riddell.
One of them. Now, see.
Hang on, let me explain what we're talking about. Neil Riddell caught up with a bunch of St. Francis University alumni, former coaches, administrators, had a full-page breakdown in the Altoona Mirror over the weekend with their thoughts about going to Division III. I'm going to read those thoughts from one of the folks, former athletic director Bob Krimmel, Rob's dad, because of all the ones, and Neil talked to a bunch of people, Joe Anderson, Susan Robinson Fructal, Jeff Eisen, Jim Barron. There are a bunch of St. Francis folks in there, but I'm going to read the one from Bob Krimmel here in just a second. But what was your takeaway from it, Dan?
Well, you know, it was interesting. It was a mixture, see, and the majority of them were against the move. The majority of them, I would say, but there was a couple of them that said it was in the works for a good while.
Yeah, they knew that it had been in the works. I still think those people were against it. I just think that they probably thought it was inevitable.
Absolutely, and then. You know, Lou Smith was the last one, and the majority of them had connections. All of them had connections.
Here's the deal. Let me explain this. Nathan and I have talked about this recently on the show. It is difficult to get people to be honest in the sports media. It just is. We all have games to play. We all are trying to keep our jobs in the sports media. The athletes we cover make a million times more money than we do. They have all the power. Getting people to speak their mind and to be honest. Look, that's why I don't have coaches and players on this show. Coaches and players lie more than anybody else. I have very little time for what coaches and players have to say from an analysis standpoint, because they're going to cover their own ass. They're going to kiss up to their teammates. You literally can have a teammate that go frigging murder somebody, and coaches and administrators and players are going to find a way to soften whatever. Because you don't get a lot of honesty in sports. But here's what Bob Krimmel had to say about saying this is Rob's dad. I'd like to have Rob on the show maybe at some point coming up. I'm curious if he would be honest about it. He probably would not. I do respect Rob, but I don't see Rob stabbing the people at St. Francis in the back when he was there for 30 years. I don't see that. But here's what his dad had to say. When I opened the email from the office of the president on March 25th, I never anticipated the devastating news it contained for the St. Francis University family. I always viewed St. Francis as the place where miracles happened and faith overcame challenges. On March 25th, it became the place where secrecy prevailed over honesty and truth. That's Bob Krimmel, Rob's dad, the former AD, a highly respected person, worked at Penn State for 30 years, calling everybody at St. Francis liars. Let me read the line again. On March 25th, it became the place where secrecy prevailed over honesty and truth. He goes on, certain individuals in leadership positions failed the people they were called to serve, the members of the St. Francis community, especially the student athletes, coaches, faculty, and alumni. More than 600 students, coaches, and staff came to St. Francis believing they would have a Division I experience. They were misled, as this plan to transition SFU athletics to D3 had obviously been in the planning for several years. This is the honesty I'm talking about. This is the honesty that you want from people, okay? And I even texted Neil yesterday and said, I'm surprised that Bob was this honest. I've known Bob for a long, long time. We kind of got along for the most part. We didn't because of one particular thing. But of all the people in this story, Bob Krimmel's the only one being 100% honest here. This action by the president and trustees certainly does not follow the Franciscan values that are at the heart of the university and the student-athlete experience. I got to take a break here. But my point, Dan, is of all of that stuff that Neil wrote, and I'm glad he reached out to all these people, Bob Krimmel's is the one that matters most, because Bob Krimmel is the one that basically is saying, screw you, St. Francis, because you screwed everybody else. Everybody else was politically correct. All the other letters and everything, they were kind of politically correct. They said the right thing without trying to offend people.
Well, about the Franciscans, that's what really...
Yeah.
That's what really...
That's taking a shot. You're taking a shot right at the top of the leadership.
Yeah, absolutely.
He goes on to say, there are individuals who feel the current state of the NCAA makes things impossible for SFU. However, the athletic world has been in a state of chaos with the NCAA for years. He closed saying the president and trustees should reexamine and engage in an open review involving diverse representation from within the Red Flash family. That's not going to happen because the decision's done. But Dan, I am glad you brought that up. If you missed it, check out the weekend sports for the Altoona Mirror. There's a lot of great stuff there.
I'm Kerry Murphy with your NASCAR Cup Series race recap from Nashville Super Speedway. Taking a look at things 10-1, Christopher Bell recovered after backing his 20 car into the fence with a little help from Eric Jones. Then you got Tyler Reddick. Kyle Larson recovered after going two laps down early in this thing. Eric Jones, Bubba Wallace with a much-needed good run for that team. William Byron, number 5, Joey Logano, Denny Hamlin on baby watch before this race. And Carson Hocevar comes up one spot short of the win. To victory lane, Ryan Blaney wins after leading 139 of the 300 laps in this one. He was the only Penske driver winless before this race. He punches his ticket to the playoffs now. It's his 14th career win. 5 races at Nashville, 5 different winners. And it's now 153 wins for Team Penske overall. Blaney had 5 DNFs that did not finishes in the 13 races this year before notching his Nashville win. And Ryan said, quote, "I never gave up hope, that's for sure. We've had great speed all year. Just hasn't been the best year for us as far as good fortune. The 12 boys are awesome. They stick with it no matter how it goes. And it was great to finish one out tonight," end quote. Other stories on the day. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. got spun by Carson Hocevar. He's not making any friends out there. A hard crash on lap 114 with Noah Gragson, Alex Bowman. Heavy damage for both cars after Alex got loose. Up next for the NASCAR Cup Series is Michigan, Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, on Prime. You're on the final lap.
I love a day on the water with friends, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis sometimes holds me back. Now I'm all in with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi. Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy.
Teaching music is my passion, but my active psoriatic arthritis can limit me at times. Now I'm treating my joint symptoms with Skyrizi.
With Skyrizi, most people with plaque psoriasis saw 90% clearer skin at 4 months.
Or if you are an adult with active psoriatic arthritis, Skyrizi helps you move with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
There's nothing like clearer skin.
There's nothing like better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
It's spring, and time for a trip to J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. J.M. Boswell has a vast collection of premium cigars to choose from and a variety of pipes and tobaccos. Here's J.M. Boswell to tell us more.
Hello, this is J.M. Boswell, the owner of Boswell's Pipes and Cigars. I want to invite you all to come into our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars. You can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself.
Think you're ready for that fishing trip? You got hooks, lines, sinkers, baits? How about cigars for you and your buddies? Oops. It's time for a trip to J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. J.M. Boswell has a vast collection of premium cigars to choose from and a variety of pipes and tobaccos. J.M. Boswell has 2 convenient locations, 6481 William Penn Highway in Alexandria and 586 Lincoln Way East in Chambersburg. So go ahead, make that first cast. Then light up and enjoy a premium cigar from J.M. Boswell.
And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
I'm mesmerized here, Nathan, watching a Facebook reel of some guy escaping police like on a little motorized scooter that I've been watching this for like 2 minutes. You ever do that? You start watching a Facebook reel and it's like, what the hell did I just watch? And then you watch another one, another one, and all of a sudden an hour's gone by.
Listen, I do that way too often, more than I'd like to admit. Well, you just find something that you got to watch. Like, I sometimes watch a video like 3-4 times just to be like,
what was that?
Did I just see that?
What the heck did I see?
Are my eyes deceiving me?
Clarkster, what's going on, man?
Well, I thought an episode of American Greed just broke out.
What was that?
You know, Billy McFarland. He was featured on American Greed.
Oh, was he? Okay.
Yeah, and he's probably trying to do a second episode the way he goes. Anyway, a couple of corrections.
Okay, I love corrections. What you got?
When you said the non-conference schedule, you said Northwestern. It wasn't Northwestern. It was Montana State.
Who they? That was Nathan. So what was it? They played. No, were you talking Oregon?
Yes, Oregon.
So they don't play Northwestern. They play Montana State.
No, they Northwestern's a Big Ten team.
Yeah, they play Northwestern.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So they play them in week 2, though. I get what you're saying. But the fact that they play them in week two, they start
Montana State. Penn State's their fifth game.
Okay, yeah. I thought you were reading their first 3 games.
No. The first game's Montana State. Then you got 3 quality opponents.
That's my fault. I thought Nathan was reading the first 3 games of the season.
Yes, he was. But the non-conference schedule that you were comparing.
Yeah, you're right.
Is really Montana State, Oklahoma State, and Oregon State. Now, Oregon State was the old Civil War.
Well, that's still going to be a rivalry game, no matter what.
I think they have that.
They went woke. Back in 2020, they went woke and are not calling it the Civil War anymore. You got to read up on that.
What do they call it?
They're calling it the Classic or the State Championship or something like that. Because of the Floyd incident, for some reason, they're not inviting anything relating to, you know, negativity, which you're talking about with naming it the Civil War. But a couple of other things real quick. Things are falling into place when it comes to Penn State and recruiting and NIL. Because in 2026, the Nittany Mall goes online with the casino.
Yeah. When we were talking about James Franklin earlier, he has been complaining very vocally for 3 or 4 years, at least, about everything aligning, you know, everybody being on the same page. But for all intents and purposes, he has that now. He's got the full backing of Pat Kraft. He's got the full backing of Neely Bendapudi. Now, look, the next thing will be, I'm sure he's going to be saying, well, they're spending $31 million. We're not spending. Look, I don't think Penn State can ever spend as much as Ohio State. I just don't think it's going to be possible. They've got other bills to pay. So I wonder that they are going to be able to spend as much money as they possibly can, but I still don't think it's going to be as much as an Ohio State.
I want to hear, you see a lot of these recruits, you see them go online and say, oh, I'm blessed to get an offer from this school.
Yeah, sure.
I want to hear them say, I'm blessed to get the NIL offer.
All right, thanks, buddy. I was just looking at Oregon's schedule. Oklahoma State, Northwestern, Oregon State, Penn State, Indiana, Rutgers, Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, USC, Washington. Holy God, man.
Gauntlet.
That's a brutal schedule. I mean,
those Midwest teams, they can knock. I mean, we almost saw it last year against Wisconsin.
Iowa, Minnesota, USC, Washington. That you get a break between Wisconsin and Iowa, but man, oh man, that's how you finish. Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, USC, Washington.
That's every Big Ten team. There's not many cupcakes in the Big Ten.
And not only that, those are the tough physical teams.
I mean, yeah, those Midwest teams.
Oh, man, Oregon survives all that. That's a impressive statement.
Yeah, this is that learning curve you're talking about, which Big Ten football,
it'll be
cold weather.
And look, I don't know for a fact that it's going to happen. I think it will happen because, again, they go to Iowa on November 8th, and that's the kind of game. Didn't they have one at Wisconsin last year?
Yeah.
That kind of same kind of deal.
The team last year had so many transfer pieces that were so experienced already, like the Dylan Gabriel, who was a 4-year starter or 5-year starter, wherever he was. He had different guys coming in there, Tez Johnson, guys like that, who they've played so much college ball that you were able to kind of plug and play, and you were able to go undefeated and win a Big Ten title. Again, Dante Moore hasn't played in a year. You do have some of those players still come back, especially on the defensive side, but a lot of those offense players, the offensive linemen, it's a lot different. The learning curve is probably going to happen this year, and you know, hopefully it happens.
Well, if you're Penn State, you don't want it to. If you're Penn State, you want Oregon to be awesome. You want to beat Oregon, and then you hope Oregon navigates all that and goes 10-2.
Yeah, Penn State.
Because then that looks better for
them. Well, what happens? Penn State will go 11-1, and Oregon will end up being 7-5.
That's with USC last year. Penn State beat USC barely, and USC really struggled. So that win didn't look all that great.
That was the win on the schedule that's like, okay, listen, that's the pick-me-up win if you don't beat Ohio State that people can point to and say. Or that was even the West Virginia to a certain extent with out of the conference when they were saying.
Well, they got really fortunate. Remember, that was a Julian Fleming game where he caught
USC.
Caught a couple.
His only two notable catch of the year. Hey, T's and P's to Fleming. I don't know how he's doing, but terrible
best
situation.
Best of luck to Julian Fleming,
It's spring, and time for a trip to J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. J.M. Boswell has a vast collection selection of premium cigars to choose from and a variety of pipes and tobaccos. Here's J.M. Boswell to tell us more.
Hello, this is J.M. Boswell, the owner of Boswell's Pipes and Cigars. I want to invite you all to come into our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars. You can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself.
Think you're ready for that fishing trip? You got hooks, lines, sinkers, baits? How about cigars for you and your buddies? Oops. It's time for a trip to J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. J.M. Boswell has a vast collection of premium cigars to choose from and a variety of pipes and tobaccos. J.M. Boswell has two convenient locations, 6481 William Penn Highway in Alexandria and 586 Lincoln Way East in Chambersburg. So go ahead, make that first cast. Then light up and enjoy a premium cigar from J.M. Boswell.
And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Ready for that summer road trip? Make sure your vehicle is ready. Make a trip to Russell Tire in Altoona or Central PA Truck and Equipment in Claysburg for their summer savings special. Get lube, oil, filter service, inspection of all belts and hoses, tire air pressure set, tire rotation, brake inspection, and battery inspection. All for just $59.99. And to help you stay cool and comfortable on that road trip, take advantage of their air conditioning performance check for only $59.99. Be ready for the road this summer with a trip to Russell Tire, 1901 Union Avenue in Altoona, or Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales, 348 Mansion Boulevard in Claysburg.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the three-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. Did you know the IRS has programs specifically designed to help people struggling with tax debt? Powerful tax assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution firm, A-rated by the Better Business Bureau. Their award-winning team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. One call to Optima can start the process, helping to end your worries about wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other IRS actions. Make sure you're getting the best options to solve your tax problems. Call the experts at Optima today for a free confidential consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. I like that one. Optima Tax Relief. Who we got to thank today, Nathan?
We always got to thank our presenting sponsors, J.M. Boswell's Pipes and Cigars, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday, order in the weekdays, and then 9 to 4 on Saturday. Always open online at J.M. Boswell's Pipes and Cigars. Check them out.
And remember, there's nothing like a Boswell's pipe.
And remember, there's also a Chambersburg location.
That's right.
Run down there, too, if you want to. I don't have the address engraved in my mind. But
which one's better, Optima Tax Relief or Bread and Rolls Pacifico?
They retired that, man. They retired Bread and Rolls Pacifico.
They did?
I don't think they played
it. We haven't played it in a while. But that was a good jingle.
Every time that would come on, I'd be bopping.
Who lives at 867-5309?
Jenny.
Right. So if you can have, like, 888-2300 Empire. Like some of these songs, some of these jingles out there, man, that you just hear them so many times, they're just embedded in your brain. Those are geniuses.
Have you ever called Jenny's number?
I have many times over the years and from various area codes.
Various.
You never get anybody. Have a good one, everybody.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM, WKMC Roaring Spring Altoona. AM, 96.1 FM, Roaring Spring, Altoona, a service of Lightner Communications.